Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Before I get to all of those top stories, did you see the oldest lingerie model in the world?
Have I seen her? No.
Yeah, 83 years old. She's a former Playboy bunny. And she now has been in a photo shoot for lingerie at age 83.
Good for her. Eh.
She looks good.
I mean, look, none of us look good at 83. The best-looking 83-year-old isn't a lingerie model.
Sure she is.
No.
She looks the one good thing for 83.
She has a very, very sexy name, though. Dory Jacobson.
That alone
doesn't that
should make you a fan.
That'll sell lingerie, just that alone. Okay, I got to get to our top stories this hour.
The Big Lead, top story.
There's an interesting story in the Seattle Times today. King County sticks with peace circles for juvenile crime even after a murder charge. And there is something bizarre going on in our region right now. Because you've seen the protests. The reason seven people laid down in the middle of the street in downtown Seattle is they don't want a juvenile jail. And Dave Ross went down and talked to them, and they said they don't think a kid should ever be put in jail for any reason. In fact, Nicole, I forgot to ask this. Could you bump up the Dave Ross audio with those protesters? Because I want to illustrate the insanity of what's going on around here. And Dave even said, what if they kill somebody? And they refused to answer. The woman said, I'm not going to answer that because that's a hypothetical. No, it's not. If your argument is kids should never be put in jail, even if they murder somebody, even if they rape somebody, they should never be put in jail. And the story in the Seattle Times today talks about how King County prosecutor Dan Satterberg, he's embracing this new agey way of dealing with some juvenile offenders. And he says that they're focusing on healing rather than punishment, self-reflection rather than incarceration. Because they are starting to cave in to this movement that juveniles should never be put into jail for anything. So here's how the peace circles work. That, and again, prosecutor's office is embracing this. According to the Seattle Times, each circle begins by burning sage and progresses with a talking stick or feather passed from hand to hand, followed by months of self-reflection and many hours of sitting in a circle with counselors, family members, victim advocates, educators, and a juvenile court judge. But this has gone completely sideways because of a 16-year-old named Diego Carballo Oliveros. He had been charged with two robberies. Everyone who had talked to this kid believed that he was capable of considerable violence. And so they decided, hey, let's try the peace circle with him. And so they say it's designed, and this is so new agey. This is so touchy-feely. It's so Seattle. The peace circles are designed to increase empathy and strengthen bonds. They had already used it with two other young men facing robbery charges. So they took a chance on Diego Carballo Oliveros. And he went out and murdered somebody after not being locked up for the other charges, the less serious charges he'd been facing. Now, allegedly murdered somebody. He and two alleged accomplices, they've pleaded not guilty to the crime of murder, killing a kid at Chief South High School who was about to begin his sophomore year. when we do all this new agey stuff and it turns out that a peace circle doesn't accomplish its objective and a kid dies as a result of it, I wonder if these prosecutors and these people in the juvenile justice system, I wonder if they are somewhat reflective, because you can't take a chance with dangerous people, kids or adults, because if they flip the wrong way, people die. And again, this woman that Dave Ross talked to a couple of weeks ago, when Dave said, what about jailing murderers or rapists?
Most of the kids in the youth jail have not been in there for violent offenses, so this question about guns and about violent children is often a red herring, and it's not one that I'm willing to go into when we're here for an action to stop the new youth jail. I think that those responses need to be figured out individually.
No. If somebody's violent, we need to deal with them sternly. And burning sage generally isn't going to flip the violence. But of course, this gal that Dave talked to, she's really radical.
I don't think we should have a society with cops. I think we need to abolish the police. And that's part of the problem, is that that's a racist structure, as well as prisons are a racist structure.
And this is at the very top of local government. Dan Satterberg, the King County prosecutor, he brags about how we don't lock up very many kids around here.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States. We incarcerate 269 people per 100,000. That's a meaningless statistic, unless you look south at Oregon, where they incarcerate more.
But is that a triumph, that we don't lock up that many people? Or is it leaving us at risk? I mean, every day we hear about shootings. Last night, there was a high-speed chase after a shooting. Four juveniles were busted for that. Dow Constantine talks about, with great pride, about how we don't lock up very many kids around here.
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50. In fact, there were 39 as of this past Friday, the lowest in the nation for a jurisdiction the size of King County.
But is that the triumph? The question that I'm asking is, how many juveniles are committing crimes around here? We still haven't caught whoever murdered the 13 and 19-year-old girls in Burien a week and a half ago. But we have stories every day about juveniles committing crime. And maybe, just as with the heroin issue, where we become the best place in the country to use heroin, because the cops won't bust you if you shoot up in the middle of downtown Seattle. In Snohomish County, the prosecutors won't prosecute you if you have a small amount of heroin or meth on you. At the time of arrest, they've essentially legalized small amounts of drugs in Snohomish County. And as a result, we've become the heroin and homelessness capital of the country. And I do wonder if we're doing the same thing with juvenile criminals. By having Dow Constantine brag about our low juvenile incarceration rate, and then you hear about burning sage in a peace circle leading to a 16-year-old being murdered because we didn't lock up a youth criminal when they committed a lesser crime. What's the success there? We really are way too concerned with politically correct nonsense in this region that has little effect on the safety of the people. Because there are a lot of people who recognize that whether you're walking in downtown Seattle or Burien, Tacoma, Everett, that this is about as dangerous as any of us can remember around here. And a lot of times, the criminals are kids. So to brag about a low incarceration rate, start bragging if we have the lowest rate of juvenile crime in America. But I'm not seeing any correlation between going soft on kid criminals and the society being any safer here. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
We generated a lot of talk yesterday with the homeless shack from which I broadcast. And again, thank you to my friends and listeners who helped build that thing. And we were illustrating the folly of how government is dealing with homelessness around here. And then lo and behold, I finished the show yesterday and we find out about a new homeless encampment near Green Lake. And if you missed the beginning of the show, I told the story. When I got off the air yesterday at about 3:15, I was going out with some of my coworkers to tear down the shack we had built to make our point. And there are two Seattle police cars sitting in the parking lot here. And the cops are just doing their job, and they couldn't have been nicer, and I had a very pleasant conversation with them. But I said, am I in trouble here? Pointing to my shack on the sidewalk. And they go, no, as long as you take it down. They're just doing their job, and they couldn't have been nicer, and I couldn't have more respect for our officers on the street. But we are in a bizarre place and time now where coming either from police command or from the mayor and city council offices, the police have been told hands off on these homeless encampments, 400 of them around the city. Two Seattle cops are here when I finished my broadcast yesterday. And I admitted it. I said, I am broadcasting from my illegal sidewalk encampment. Because I wanted to see if I was going to be treated differently than the heroin addicts sitting at Green Lake or by the Burke-Gilman Trail or at your kid's school. And it seems that I was. No fault of the cops. But somewhere in leadership, city, mayor, council, police command, they decided, we're going to send two cops out to Monson's shack. But we have 400 encampments elsewhere in the city. And I was doing nothing. I mean, I was far more legal than most of those encampments. Our shack was heroin-free yesterday. At Green Lake, there's a new encampment. And Q13 covered this story. A neighbor, Elijah Wilgus, said, yeah, it's really taking a toll on our neighborhood.
There's people strung out, wandering around. There's, you know, huge hordes of stolen goods like bikes and mopeds.
And that's the case with so many of these encampments. There are stolen goods everywhere. And around the bigger encampments, the car smash and grabs and home invasions go through the roof. Sally is another neighbor.
My friend that lives about four blocks away caught one of them in their garage in the middle of the day. His scooter had been stolen.
And for Sally, she told the story about how she parked in her driveway and her rear bumper was a few inches over the sidewalk. They don't do anything about the heroin addicts in the illegal encampment, but for Sally?
Here's a ticket, and I had to pay it. And 50 feet away, other citizens are allowed to live on the sidewalk.
And this is the double standard that I exposed with the little bit of drama yesterday. Heroin addicts in an illegal encampment are left alone, but a homeowner who's paying probably $15,000 in property taxes and is a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen, she gets a $90 ticket because her bumper is a couple inches over the sidewalk, and a block away, the heroin addicts in the tent are left alone. And we have a horrible failure of prioritization around here. Now, Justin is one of the guys in this illegal Green Lake encampment.
We definitely don't condone any type of vandalism, theft, or drug use.
And maybe Justin does not use drugs, but I suspect you are not naive enough to believe that most of these illegal encampments are drug-free, because we know it's just not the case.
I would imagine, just like there are in them houses, there's drug use and law violations anywhere you go. It just seems like here there's no walls to hide behind.
Okay. And maybe this guy is drug and crime free. I don't know. But our priorities have completely flipped in this region. People get jaywalking tickets, but seven kids can lie down in the middle of the street protesting a youth jail and tie up traffic for 6.5 hours, and nothing happens to them. I put up a shack on the sidewalk for 4 hours. I got two Seattle cops here at the end of my show. People have set up underneath the Space Needle for a week and a half, taunting the city, and they don't get evicted. How did we become a region where tax-paying, law-abiding citizens have become the target of local government and heroin-abusing, illegal sidewalk campers get a protection from the police and the government? How did this come to be? Yes, it's very frustrating right now, and that's what people certainly expressed to me yesterday when we got a lot of nice comments on My Northwest and on our Facebook page about our little stunt yesterday, because I feel like I was speaking for a lot of citizens of this region who have seen themselves being targeted for the most minor of offenses. And they see the people who are trashing and destroying this region. And so what do we do about this? You know, we've identified the problem. So what do we do about this? And I am more convinced than ever that we must provide as much drug and alcohol counseling, rehab, as people want. Provide mental health counseling. Provide job training. And offer to help anybody turn their life around. If they choose to not accept that, we must get tough. Monroe, two nights ago, passed a law. No sitting, camping, loitering on sidewalks. We need that law. We need to enforce our heroin laws. We need to put people in jail if they're shooting up heroin between their toes on a downtown Seattle bus bench. We need to send out the message that we are not going to any longer be the most friendly heroin region in the country, because a lot of addicts have migrated here for just that reason. We must have compassion, and we must open our hearts and the public coffers for anybody who needs and wants help. But we should get draconian on the majority of people who have decided that heroin use and street camping is their lifestyle of choice. We got to stop going after the citizens for the most minor of offenses, but offering a protection racket for the homelessness industry that has led to the trashing of our wonderful region. That's what I would do. That's my proposed solution. We don't have public leaders,
leaders
who are anywhere near the reality of what I've just proposed. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Well, this is simply a fantastic batch of awesome audio, including a new contender for the best soundbite of the year so far. Coming up next on the Dory Monson. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora, in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, business owners. Isn't this great? You can listen to Dory anytime, anywhere. If you're listening, your customers probably are too, so you need to give me a call. I can help you out and get your business placed right here in this show. 206-726-6819. It's Tina Sorensen, the General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio.
I can't waste any time. This is such a fantastic batch of audio, including a new contender for Soundbite of the Year. Let's get right to our awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Day.
First of all, at number three, so every night I watch all the local newscasts to help prepare for the show. So about 12:30 this morning, I always tape our friends over at Cairo TV. Mm-hmm. And it always gets, my DVR gets the last 2 minutes of the CBS show that precedes it. And it's some Grammy tribute to Elton John.
Oh, okay.
I thought, well, this sounds fantastic. So I have the prime time anytime on my dish. So, I don't know, about 1 o'clock this morning, I started watching this tribute to Elton John. And you know his fantastic song, Someone Saved My Life. You know the song?
Oh, yeah.
One of his oldies. So it's an awesome song. Fantastic. The lyrics are beautiful. The tune is fantastic. His singing is fantastic.
Muggy nights, curtains drawn in the little room downstairs.
So anyway, I'm watching this tribute to Elton John. And you know who Gail King is?
Oh, yeah.
Oprah's buddy?
Yes, best friend.
Yeah, so she comes out to do Someone Saved My Life tonight. And I thought, well, I didn't even know she sings. And she was accompanied by a cello. And let me just say, this doesn't really do justice to the song.
Number three.
Life tonight, accompanied by Raymond Seacomb. Please welcome Gail King.
Now, I'm digging it right now. Cello sounds great. I'm thinking, well, this could be interesting.
When I think of those East End lights, muggy nights, the curtains drawn in the little room downstairs. Prima Donna Lord, you really should have been there.
Why?
Sitting like a princess, perched
why are they
in her
doing
electric
this?
Chair.
Maybe because she doesn't sing.
And it's one
why
more
then? Why
you,
have her on the show?
I know
CBS wants to promote their people.
Crazy lately.
This isn't doing justice to Elton John.
Rolling around the basement.
There's only
floor.
One Elton John. Anyone trying to do Elton John just wouldn't cut it.
So
she's just reading the words.
No, they had Chris Martin from Coldplay, and he killed it.
Oh,
they had a country singer, and she killed it. And then they had this.
Someone saved my life tonight. Someone saved my life tonight.
Come on! What are you doing, CBS? Crying out loud. Okay, at number two in our awesome audio, it's the story of Andre Ingram, 32 years old. He's been banging around the NBA's minor league, the development league, for 10 years. And then he thought it was his exit interview at the end of the season. He's part of the Lakers developmental team. His NBA dream, dead after 10 years, I'm sure. And then this happens.
Number two.
You know, just to start, I guess, want to see how the season was for you. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought overall, I'll start with the team. I thought we did excellent, man. I thought we started off extremely well.
Obviously, always, I know this was your sixth season with us, and you've been great on the court. You've been great off the court. You've really helped out our guys in the locker room, and I think you know that. So we're very grateful to have you. Thank you also for, I know we're supposed to meet tomorrow, but we had to move the exit meeting up to today because the LA Lakers want to call you up. And sign it for us this season.
I wonder why those two big guys are back here. Wow. Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to
I appreciate
Lakers.
That. I appreciate that. Thank you, boss.
Well, you know, just come on tomorrow and get ready.
Yeah. This guy's got gray hair. He goes in the game. He sinks his first shot, a three-pointer. He had 19 points last night.
It's not like I was, you know, angered and I should have been here the whole, no, I mean, it's been a joy, you know, these 10 years, it's been a joy, man. I remember it all. I remember, you know, starting with the, you know, Utah's D League team, the Flash back then, and, you know, playing with these guys when we were the defenders instead of, I remember it all. And they're fond memories. They're not like, you know, angry memories, man, I should be here. No, it's not any of that. It's just great that, you know, you just appreciate it for what you do. So yeah, it's a handsome reward, man, for you know, just for time put in and what have you. But you know, everybody works hard. You know, I'm thankful I had the opportunity, but there's a lot of people that work hard. I'm grateful, man. It's all it is. I'm just grateful.
Yeah. What a cool story. And then the most controversial audio of the day, one Nicole and Ursula didn't want me to play.
We're almost out of time here. You better hurry.
A Christian protesting outside of an abortion clinic, and a woman came up to. Well, let me just say she disagreed with his protest.
Number one.
Go home. Pick up your. We don't need that here.
Yeah.
We already have enough going on. I'm a woman of this world. We're women of this world. You have no place to think about nothing. Go the home. Go
You're
the
murdered down the street, ma'am.
Whatever.
I need to speak up for them. Ma'am, please.
Go home.
Nominated by several listeners as Soundbite of the Year. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Glad you spent part of your Wednesday afternoon with us. And before we get out of here, it's time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Going to make this today's sign triple shot. This first one is just absolutely reprehensible. A 67-year-old man down in Louisiana, Carl Rogers, he has pleaded guilty to the rape of a 6-year-old girl. He's been sentenced to 20 years in prison. And at age 67, hopefully that'll be for the rest of his life. He did admit to the sexual contact with the girl, but Carl Rogers had a rather interesting defense. He says that the 6-year-old girl is the one who should be blamed. Carl Rogers claimed the girl had been the aggressor. The victim is now 11 years old. She disclosed the rape during a counseling session at a mental health clinic a couple of years ago, and she told the counselor the story. Back when she was 6 years old, Carl Rogers touched her body inappropriately, kissed her, and forcibly had sex with her, on her. The guy in court claimed that she had initiated it, that she came on to him, a 6-year-old girl. That was his defense. And everybody in the court was visibly disgusted by this. He did plead guilty. He admitted the sexual contact. He does not have the possibility of parole, probation, or any suspension of the sentence. And if he ever gets out, he'll have to register as a sex offender. But that is one of the most disgusting, reprehensible defenses I've ever heard for molesting a child. On a much lighter note, today's sign story number two. If you go to McDonald's, you can buy separately a couple of sausage burritos. I hear they're yummy. And then you can get a side order of hash browns. And you can buy a cup of coffee. If you buy all of those things individually, it'll cost you $4.97. However, McDonald's has conveniently bundled them together as an extra value meal. So you're wondering how much money you'd save for items when purchased separately cost $4.97? Well, if you get them as an extra value meal, it's $5.08. The extra value is you get to pay 11 cents more. And so a woman sued. She said that it was deceptive of McDonald's to call a meal value when it costs more. And yeah, it's just 11 cents, but she said that that is deceptive advertising. And she filed a class action lawsuit saying McDonald's was duping customers with the extra value designation. And that lawsuit has now been tossed out by a judge. The judge said, well, the combo meal prices and the individual item prices are easily visible. And just because consumers don't want to compare prices doesn't mean they can claim they've been fooled. I disagree with the judge. I just think it'd be fair to assume that if a company calls something extra value, you can assume that you're getting I don't know, extra value out of it? And I don't know how much. I mean, it's 11 cents, big deal. But it's still sleazy to do that. But the judge said, no, you got to, as a consumer, you have to just look and add up the prices yourself and decide for yourself if that's an extra value. I don't understand the judge's ruling. It is wrong for McDonald's to do that. Okay, and speaking of the world of food, I've talked to you that I love to cook chili. My former dentist, both he and his wife separately, won the World Chili Cook-Off down in Mexico about 5 years apart. Very accomplished, and they were kind of my chili mentors. And a few years ago, I just got crazy, because on Super Bowl Sunday, if the Seahawks are not in the Super Bowl, because if they're in the Super Bowl, I'm at the game. But on Super Bowl Sunday, my wife and I tend to have a Super Bowl viewing party, and I always make two batches of chili. I think we had 30 or 40 people this last February for that. And I make a hot pot of chili, and then I make, it's still hot, but it's a little bit milder, my gringo chili. And about 10 years ago, I just got ridiculous in my pursuit of heat. I was finding the hottest chili peppers and spices, and I had stores all around the region that I would drive to buy these things, and I would buy them on the web, and it just got ridiculously hot. And I sacrificed flavor in my pursuit of heat. I just wanted it to be the five alarm chili. By the way, when we're talking about all this, do we have any songs about those hot, spicy chili peppers? Oh, I get it. So that was my pursuit for many years, and I've backed it off now. Now I just go for flavor, not as much heat. It's still hot. It's still really hot, but not at the expense of it being tasty. You can't even taste the flavor when I made it really hot. I bring all of this up because a man named Rob Radcliffe, he undertook a challenge to eat a Carolina Reaper chili. This is known as the world's hottest chili pepper. He's 34 years old. He ate one of them at a chili eating contest in upstate New York. Immediately after the competition, he got violently ill. He began dry heaving. He developed intense neck and head pain, starting in his back. It later spread across his whole head. He told doctors he did not have any tingling sensation or weakness, slurred speech, or transient loss of vision. He had a high blood pressure because of this, and doctors diagnosed him with a thunderclap headache connected with cerebral vasoconstriction syndrome, which is what happens after you eat the world's hottest chili pepper. His symptoms have cleared up, but it's been a long medical journey. He had to undergo a CT scan 5 weeks later to see if his affected arteries had returned to their normal width. This guy almost killed himself eating a chili pepper. Mary McGuire, be my favorite to the wild, be my very own constellation. A teenage dad with a baby inside, getting high on information. And buy me a star on a boulevard, it's Californication. Eating that chili pepper almost literally was a sign that his end was near. That is going to do it for us for this Wednesday afternoon. I got to get out of here. I have said everything that I have to say for today. But I am going to go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's show. Ron and Don coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Go home. Go home. Go home! Go home! Go home! Go home! Go home! Go home! Go home!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.